Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into this week's edition of Bullring Breakdown. I want to thank you all for listening. Want to just remind everybody, please like and subscribe on the YouTube page, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Follow us on Facebook and TikTok at Woodhall 64 as well. Well, first thing I want to get to here is a little bit of a somber note. I do want to send our condolences to Carl Guild and Tim and his family. Unfortunately, Carl passed away. I believe it was last weekend. For anybody that knew him, he was a great guy. He sat at the top of the grandstands every week, and I walked by him every single week. And just the enjoyment that he got out of watching Tim race and everybody race, he will be sorely missed. So a little bit of a sad way to start, but didn't want to get through this episode without just saying a heartfelt condolences to Tim and his family, and it's going to be hard for him. I know I can't imagine what it'll be like for him the first time he straps into a race car next season, but want to start off by saying that, but. We are going to move on to a few things. I do want to let everyone know that we are having winter meetings for the Woodhull Raceway. A few things being discussed. Nothing major really coming down the pike or anything. I wouldn't be too concerned about much. So we're working our way through the winter and hopefully to make the 2026 season even better. I thought 2025 was pretty successful, and hopefully we can make 2026 even bigger. So with that in mind, I do want to remind everybody that the interviews are brought to you by D&L Disposal. They offer a regular residential garbage route in Jasper, Truesburg, Woodhull, Addison, and the surrounding areas. Aside from that, they also offer dump trailer service rentals for your bigger needs. They'll drop it off at your location. All you have to do is load it up and they'll come and take it away. Give them a call at 607-382-7609 to get started with D&L Disposal, the premier residential waste management service in the Woodhull area. And I get to welcome in my guest. My guest is two-time. Oh, he might kick me. I believe two-time street stock track champion, two-time Rush Crate late model track champion, back-to-back for the late models. So we're going to get Brett Marlatt. Brett Marlatt going to join me here this evening. We're going to talk a little bit about what's in store for him. So let's just go ahead and get him in here.
All right.
So, Brett, how are we doing tonight?
Doing pretty good, Joe. How are you doing?
Well, just happy to be here. I think I say that every week. So, the first thing I want to touch on, back-to-back track championships. Hey, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, I really didn't think I'd be here. I always ran the street stock class. I ran that class a lot of years, and I never really thought that I'd move into the late models. Always wanted to when I was younger. They started coming around the area with the Crate late model class, and Bryce got into it, and then Jason was into it, Austin got into it, and I figured I should probably try it out.
So, is that just what made you make that switch? You just seeing all them guys run it, you kind of got the itch, or?
Yeah, I mean, we ran street stocks a long time. We had won just about everything there was to win, up here in the northern part of PA. Had a lot of good finishes at some other big events. And, I started traveling a little bit with those guys and helping them out. And it was time to kind of change the scenery a little bit, get a little bit different competition and see what we could do against those guys.
Do you enjoy it a little bit better?
Honestly, Joe, as long as I'm racing, I enjoy it. There's guys I miss racing with. You got Glenn Reitenauer. He's always fun to race with in the street stocks, Teddy Morseman, all those guys. But then again, you run another class and you become a competitor with somebody else and you still get the same vibes from them. And it challenges you more. The more drivers you race against, the more tracks you go to and the more time you put into it. It's just all fun in the end.
Right. Well, that's kind of the awesome thing about those cars is they're pretty standard no matter where you go. You're running the same rules.
Yeah, for the most part, other than change of shocks here and there, a little bit of gear adjustment, for the most part, pretty standard.
Yeah, that's probably a big change from back when you ran the street stocks. I think every track was a little different.
Yeah, the motors were different, transmissions were different. Just the setup alone, you went through different shocks, springs, gears. On top of that, the heads were different. Just everything about it was different. You almost had to change the car just to go to a different track. It was tough to travel, back then, where I think the tracks have kind of gotten together now. They're getting on the same motor rules, and it's a little bit easier for those guys to travel. I think it's good for all of them.
Yeah, it's pretty. I think it's good for everybody. You can put on a Woodhull 100 deal and get 35 of them. Just it's kind of hard to
Oh,
expect
I know.
guys
And
to.
this year was a pretty good race. Yeah, and I mean this year was a pretty good, 100, Chris Woodard there. He had a really strong car. He's a pretty good competitor. He's ran just about everything down there. I mean, it's gonna take a pretty good car and a pretty good night and a little bit of luck to beat him down there.
Right. Do you remember that race pretty well? That 100?
This past year's 100.
Yep.
Or
So,
yeah, I did get down there and I did watch that one.
okay. So what I want to know is a driver's point of view. I asked Chris Woodard this in Victory Lane. What did you think about him taking the inside on that restart after the halfway point?
It's really hard to answer that, Joe. I wasn't in the seat. I know his car was really strong up top. I know Glenn's pretty smart. And I think either way, it was going to be a pretty tough last few laps for him to hold Glenn off. He had a strong car. He was just as fast as him. It fell the other way this time.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. That's one of my most favorite races to watch. Do you kind of miss running in that for the
I do
past?
miss that. I really miss running in that the hundreds. I mean, there was a lot of strategy that went behind that, just tires and when you were actually going to hit the loud pedal and go. I mean, a lot of those races I started actually towards the back and we'd work our way up through, but you're trying to save tires the entire time, and you just kind of pick them off one by one, stay out of trouble. And if you had something there for the last 25 laps, then you could turn it on. The one there that I was lucky enough to win, we started on the pole, we won the heat, we won the dash, and went into the feature starting on the pole, so you could kind of set cruise control there for a little while and save tires and really not beat the car up. The year after that, we led. I think we led up into the 80s somewhere, and the left front ball joint breaks. I had just replaced that 2 weeks prior to that, and it's just one of those things. You can't prevent it from happening. If it's going to happen, it's just luck wasn't on your side. We went to the 100, or the I guess it was the 50 lapper the next week at Outlaw, and we were leading that, and we blew a right rear tire in that, leading with 20 to go. So this wasn't meant to be. We just kind of take it and learn from it.
Right. That one at Outlaw, that might have been 100 back when you won the Woodhull 100. I don't know for
It could have
sure, but.
been. I think it was 100, and I think that night they cut it to 50 because we had a big rainstorm come in. The track was pretty muddy and it was already late because we've been packing the track all day, and I think they ended up cutting it to 50 that last year.
Right. Did you like the 100 laps?
I did. It's one of those events that you don't get to see very often. It's really good when they get a lot of cars. You start getting 30 and more cars, I mean, you're getting the best in New York, the best in PA. These guys have been all over the place. They've drove just about everything there is to drive, and it's really good competition between those guys.
Right. Because I always thought to cut it down to 50. And every street stock driver told me how dumb I was. Because
I
I
guess
just.
it depends on. I guess it depends if you're leading on lap 49.
Right. Well, because my thought was always that a lot of the times, and I think you'll vouch for this, is aside from a mechanical failure, it kind of seemed like whoever leads at that halfway point, it just kind of. Not every time, but a lot of the time it kind of ends up being single file after that. And I figured it'd save you guys gas and tire money and all that stuff. And every one of you or well, all the drivers told me how dumb I was and how awesome the 100 is and how it's different than anything else they get. And well, so.
Yeah, it's all on how you look at it. 100 laps is a long time, in a street stock. You're running basically a stock frame for the most part, pretty stock parts. I mean, a lot of those upper PA arms and the ball joints and everything these guys are getting from closes now, they're pretty well, built. And these cars are lasting a lot longer. The motors are stronger, a little bit more reliable. And, the 100 lapper, it's just one of those things you don't get to do all the time. And if you are lucky enough to have a good finish or pull off a win, you can always say you won 100 lap race. Not a
Right.
lot of people can say that.
Yeah, definitely not, especially at Woodhall. That might be one
Yeah,
of the only 100 lap.
I think Stebbins and right now are in CC. They've probably cleaned up most of them.
Yeah, well, I think you're right. I think Gene Ballmer won the first. You
Yep.
won one, and Dan Gardner. And
Did Teddy
other
ever win
than
one?
no, Teddy never won one. Nope. That one surprised me as well. I thought Teddy would have had one too, but
I know he won one at Outlaw. He won one of the ones over there. He ran a good one tonight.
yeah, I felt bad for him this year because, like I said, he never won one. And this year, going into the weekend, he had such good momentum with a strong car, and then he was running second in his heat and got collected in some and when the leader spun out, and or I guess the leader blew a drive shaft. I don't want to, and then just more problems for him in the consie, kind of getting caught up behind other people, and
Like I said, it can all go bad really fast in that race. You think you could be saving everything, 20 to go. I think you're in a good spot, and just something crazy happens that you have no control over, and you got to settle with it and basically plan for next year.
Right. How much different is the late model?
It's quite a bit different. You drive with the throttle a lot more. These cars definitely have a lot more side bite, a lot more momentum. These larger sweeping tracks, you're constantly jacked right up in the air. What I realize most out of these cars is just how well they cut. If you've got them handling, they'll cut right across the track. Once you get them squared up, doesn't matter how slick that track is, and they're just a lot of fun to drive. You're racing against a lot of great competitors. I know Woodhall this past year we didn't have many cars, and it sucks. I hope, if they're going to have us this year, I really hope a lot of guys can make the trip over and run those shows. It's a lot of fun with those guys. And they're all pretty clean drivers for the most part.
Yeah, I think they all are. I mean, I'm probably not the best person to ask about that because I'm friends with a lot of them, but I'll call them clean. You are too, right? So I guess we'll call them clean drivers. Except for
Think
maybe
everybody will say
Jason.
that, won't they?
Sometimes Jason might get a little. And actually, I heard
Well.
that about Austin. I didn't watch it, but I guess Austin got into somebody this year too, so I can pick on him a little bit too. But of course, I couldn't
Probably
drive a wheelbarrow, so.
me. Well, you demo, don't you? Don't you run the demos? So I mean, that's what you're used to.
Yeah, that's slow though for the most part. We're not going too fast. Fast is about 20.
Yeah, but don't they like dump the water right to it to slick it up a little bit?
Most of the time, some
I haven't
places
been to a
don't.
demo in so many years.
Where's that Bath you usually went to?
Yeah.
You should go. You should bring a car. Would you ever run one?
No, I probably wouldn't do that, Joe.
Why
Can't
that?
say as I like I really enjoy watching them, but I don't think I could do it.
Too old.
Yeah, I'm getting old. I finding that out this past weekend.
Right. Why is that?
Well, I went down to after the awards banquet there, I went down to Kenny Peoples there. He had a kind of a little after party for him and his dad. He had a good year, and all the grown ups they wanted to play. Well, the kids wanted us to play a game of kickball, and of course, the adults, we were winning and just kind of jogging the bases a little bit and tore both my hamstrings. So that's
Wait,
been
wait.
kind of got me laid up a little bit here.
Did you actually tore him? Really?
Yeah, it's been fun the last couple of days. Don't get
Holy
around as
cow, I
well
didn't
here as
know.
I used to.
So, I didn't even really mean to bring that up to you. I didn't even really know that. I
Yeah, I
kind of
didn't
forgot.
plan on talk. I really didn't plan on talking about it. It wasn't something, you want everyone to know, but I guess that's beside the point now.
Yeah, well, I just kind of brought it up, and I thought you were I forgot all about that, but that's too bad. I hope you heal all right. So what's your off season kind of looking like? I know right now you're kind of laid up, but are you gonna just same car, same piece, just kind of go through it, or what are your thoughts, I guess, moving forward?
We've got some plans kind of set. We've been working on them. I'll know more in the spring, kind of what we're going to do, where we're going to be. This car here, it's for sale. If anybody wants it, please get a hold of me. I will make you the best deal you can't refuse.
Does that mean you're looking at something else, or is it just another different late model and you're kind of sticking with that whole?
Probably if I come back, it's going to be the late model. It'll be a different late model. Maybe just a little bit newer.
What kind of late model is that, chassis wise?
This one here, mine. This is a 2019 GRT.
Okay. Now, are you looking to stick with the GRT or?
No, we'll probably go to Rocket. GRT, they still build chassis. They've kind of lost their wheelman and the brains behind the operation there for the most part. And they just don't have a lot of guys. They build a lot of great IMCAs and other cars, but just they haven't been really racing in the big shows. The guys that give them all their feedback, they just don't have that many cars out there, and I don't think they're getting the knowledge that they need to really produce them, and they just kind of slowed down a little bit. You don't see too many GRTs, especially new ones in the area anymore.
Right. Wasn't that so back when Austin first started, wasn't that kind of the big thing, or has it always kind of been Rocket and GRT was kind of gaining steam, but
No, GRT. Bryce had a GRT. Austin had a GRT. A lot of those local guys had GRTs. I want to say even Bob Close, that's what he ran. Those guys, I mean, they set the world on fire with GRTs there for quite a while. And, it's just kind of one of those things. Over time, things change. And, Rocket, you got all the big guys running them. The Longhorns, they're just kind of the thing where everybody's successful and they're doing really well. And that's kind of the go-to right now. A lot of feedback coming back from those guys.
right. Well, I do got to put you on the spot here. Do you have any plans this winter to find something for that 29 car? Cause boy is Steve fast.
We'll see what happens.
It just seems like he shows up, and I don't know how he gets it. If he's out front, it just seems like he's in a different ballpark. But I guess you were kind of the same way. So.
He's definitely hooked up early on in the night when the track's kind of slicked up a little bit more bite. Early on in the year, he's really good. Late in the year, he's even better. It seems like late in the year, they're trying to put, water, salt, brine, whatever to keep the dust and stuff down. And I just haven't found a combination yet to hook it up to that. I've really struggled there. When that track dries out and there's dust, this year he's gonna be up front.
Right. Yeah, have you always been that way, or is this just something with the late model that you seem to like it a little better when it's a little drier?
I noticed it a little bit more in the late model. When we had that Gen 2 Nitro, that last street stock I ran, it was kind of similar to that. It's just I don't know what it is. You just don't have the side bite, you don't have the forward bite, and I know exactly what combination to go to. I don't know if it's me as much as it is the car, or if it's the car as much as it is me. I don't know. Maybe I'm a little bit more of a finesse driver. I don't know. I struggle there.
Right. Well, it's you're also pretty new. So how many years did you run the street stock? You only got what, 3 years into the late model?
I got four in the late model, and I think I
Right.
started running street stocks back in 2007. Cliff Moss, he put me in one of his cars. He had two street stocks at the time. He put me in one of his cars. We won four features that year, ended up second points to Brian Knowles. I ran his car another year. That was a year where I had my accident, and I had to take the rest of the year off. And then we went and bought Josh Nebriga's car, and I think we won 10 features the first year with that. That was a really good car coming right out of the gate. And then I met Joel Batesel there from Nitro. I became really good friends with him. He put two cars together for me, and I learned a lot through him. And Joel from Closes, those guys, they've done a little bit of everything, and they just have a lot of technology that you can't beat, and they have the mindset to go with it. And you just got to listen to them. I mean, you got to give them the details of what you're feeling in the car, and they'll hook you up.
Right. You have, so I've mentioned this before I got you onto the podcast. Do you have two track championships in a street stock?
I've got two in the street stocks.
Look at that. So I was right. I said that you might kick me if I was wrong. I couldn't remember if you had two or
I
three. I
didn't
knew
think
you
you paid
had
that much
two.
attention to him.
Who, me?
Well, you were drinking back then, Joe, weren't you? Weren't you in turn four with Austin?
What year was that? 7 and 8, 07, 08?
Well, that's when I started. I had my two
Oh.
street stock champions back in 2013 and 14.
Yeah, that would be the time we were down there in turn four acting like a bunch of hooligans. Yep.
That's right.
Yeah. I didn't know you remembered that.
I don't forget.
Well, I wish you did, because there's some nights I'm not the most proud of.
I think everybody has those nights, y'all.
Well, sometimes, when you're young and dumb,
Yeah.
sometimes old and dumb.
Bulletproof.
Yeah, that's right. So, when did you start racing really young?
Yeah, so I got into go-karts, I think when I was 7 or 8 years old. My dad and my mother, they built or bought a go-kart. We went up and ran up to Rathbun Speedway. Won a lot of races up there. Ended up moving over to Beaver Hill my last year. Won some races over there. And my dad and Barry Payne, Terry Jacobs, they built, and Jim Birdsall, they put together a four-cylinder for me. I ran that in the Woodhull Warriors. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. Before my car was done, Bill Shea let me run his car a night or two, and we had a lot of seconds. Derek Mills was pretty fast back then. He had ran a lot over at Outlaw. He was a little bit older than us, and he was a lot more knowledgeable at the time, and he was beating. He was always putting a pretty good beating on us. So I started in the Warriors, and then when I turned 16, I jumped into the four-cylinder class there. And back then, you're running against Bill Shea, Art Goodyear, Corky Grant. I know there's a bunch of those guys still that I'm forgetting, but those guys, they ended up a couple of those guys, Art, he was great in the modifieds, and Bill Shea, he went into street stock. I mean, those guys were pretty successful back then. They were the guys to beat, and then I jumped into the street stock class, and back then I don't think Danny Gordon had been passed in 2 years. I think he had won two championships in a row. You had him, you had Rod Mullen, you had Tony Foth, Ryan Knowles, Jared Hill, Mike's for Jeff Smith. A lot of those guys I watched as a kid. I rooted for them when they raced against my dad. They ran against my dad. So it was really cool racing against those guys. And back then, to me, it was a big deal. I was just some young 16-year-old kid still in high school. And those guys, I had a lot of respect for those guys, and they'd come up to me after the races, and they really appreciated that, and I really looked up to them. And a couple of them, they don't race anymore, and now they're rooting for me. So it's kind of funny how it comes full circle, and things turn around like that.
Right. Did you ever get the chance to race against your dad?
One time I ran against my dad. I was
Uh-oh.
running my four cylinder, and it was on a Sunday. For some reason, we raced on a Sunday at Woodhull. I was racing my four cylinder, and Brian Grant let my dad jump in his car. I think my dad went one lap, and something had happened. A guy had wrecked, and he took the front end right off the car. So I can say I ran against him, but not really. No, he didn't even make a lap, I don't think.
Right. Did he get out of racing about the time you started, or?
No, he ran for Chuckie McGregor. He ran his BRP there for several years, was really successful in that. And then I think Mike Smith jumped in it, and Greg Galligan after that. And then his boy Jason drove it. And then I actually got to jump in that a couple times in the middle of the season when Jason couldn't make it.
Yeah, I
And
remember that.
that was a lot of fun. They had some motor behind them in those cars.
Yeah, a lot different than the what, 604 crates, or
Lot more motor. Yeah, a lot more motor. Not quite the suspension, but the motor. They had a lot more motor than what we have right now. First time I jumped in it, we won the first heat we ever got to drive it. Chucky, I remember Chucky coming up to me, wanting me to take it out for hot laps, and I told him, it is what it is, Chucky. I'm only gonna be as good as I can be. I'm not gonna learn anything in hot laps because you only get one or two laps anyway. So I was like, it is what it is, we'll find out. And we're lucky enough, we started up front that night. We won the heat, and then it rained out. So we had a couple of good finishes. We ended up third in one of the big shows. We got hard charter that night, and they were a lot of fun to drive. I did not ever think of saying no when he'd ask me to drive it, that's for sure.
Right. Do you ever wish that they would go back to something like that, or do you like the 604s, I guess, to own and operate a little bit better?
They cost a lot more money. I mean, honestly, those street stocks aren't far off them anymore. You put a little bit bigger tire on them, you're not lacking much, really.
Right.
You know, they were fast at their time, but the street stocks have come a long ways since then, and you know, they're not far off them.
Right. I remember when I first started watching, I remember Bruce Miller. I don't know why, but he's one of the only names I can really remember from that 360 late models. I remember he just put a whooping on the field, and then it just seemed like the year that they did away with the 360s that did away with him. And I don't remember if I ever even seen him since, or
No, I think that was, yeah, I think that was kind of ended him. Him and his dad used to run. I think one of them got in a wrecked one of the cars, Bennett or something, and then they just ran the one there. Yeah, they were both really successful, right up on the top, full throttle, and they would fly up top. They carried left front all the way around, and I mean they were hooked up.
Yeah, I just
I
remember
want to say they
that.
were a Mopar, weren't they a Mopar too? Wasn't that a Mopar? Weren't they a big Mopar fan?
I wouldn't have any clue. That
I think
was
they were.
before I even knew most of the drivers. That was probably before I knew any of the drivers. That was, like I said, that was when we were just sitting in the grandstand. So we knew Austin, but he didn't drive yet. That was just a dream in his head.
Yeah, it turned out to be a pretty good dream for him, I think.
Yeah, it did. Well, that's all he said he ever wanted to do was have a race car. So I guess he made his dream happen. But did you ever think about doing anything open wheel?
He used to come back.
What's that?
I would do it if the opportunity ever rose. I would jump in an open wheel. I got to run a Crate Sportsman one night. I got to run a Crate Sportsman one night. I would definitely take that. I would take you up.
Who's Crate Sportsman?
God, I can't remember the gentleman's name. It's been a while. I ran against him in the four cylinders too. You're going back way back.
Okay.
It might have been my first, second year in the street stocks. You're going way back now. Maybe a
Okay.
Van Etten. I think it was Van Etten. I can't remember his first name.
So they're way different now then, I would imagine. You probably wouldn't even know what
Oh
to do.
yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never thought about getting that instead of the late model or the street stock?
No, not really. I mean, I've never really been around those. You know, I was with my dad, Cliff, and you know, Buck Payne there, and you know, they never had one, so I was really, really never around them. I know when I was younger, you know, I rooted for Billy Van Pelt. He was my driver at the time, and close I ever got was him taking me around the track in the modified, I guess, in the modified, so.
Right. What about one of them? You had to buy one of them. Yeah, you're doing a modified.
Yeah, it'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
Hey, what would you think about a late model sportsman race?
Late model sportsman race, I'd try it.
I mean, I know I don't have any idea how do you think it would work? Do you think it would
I don't know
work?
what are our lap times? How close are we?
Honestly, I don't have any idea. You want me to look it up? I could probably find it pretty quick.
Yeah, if you want to dial it up.
So what? Right, one second here. Let me go right through the. We got to go to the schedule. So you were there on the 12th, right? Yep. Go to live timing. Rush late model feature. All right. So John Waters had a 16.514 on the last lap of the late model feature, so 16.514. And the next night was, let's see here, 17.570 for Kenny Peoples Jr. So you guys seem to be a little bit faster.
At least that night.
At least that night, right?
Yes.
I was like,
One way to find out. One
well,
way to find
actually,
out. Set
right, and I'm looking at
it
the,
up. Set
I'm
it
looking,
up.
set it up. I'm looking at the best lap here, and Kenny had a 16.561. Let's go look at the other one here. Let's go look at best times here. Best lap, 16.249. So it looked like Steve LeBaron was 0.3 seconds faster, but he didn't even win the race. So, they're pretty close. Well, how do you think passing would go? That might be a train wreck.
You know, it is what it is.
Right.
One way to find out.
Do you think you could ever do that like an actual race, or would it have? Because I know Genesee did it where they, or was it Freedom? One of them
Well,
did it.
Woodhull used to race the modifieds against the late models.
Right. It'd be
You
the
know, they'd
same
have a
kind of
quick
a thing.
dash. And I mean, they put on a pretty good show.
I just think it'd
Depending
be
on the night,
interesting.
you know, one year the mods were faster, one year the late models were faster.
Right. Well, now that I got my brain here thinking, what do you think about a crate motor King of the Ring? I say put anything with a crate motor in there. If you got a street stock with a crate, run it.
I don't know how that would go. Just
Yeah.
any like 602, 604.
Well, I mean, yeah, illegal. I mean, you'd want to be legal for the night, so I mean, you're probably not gonna cheat up your motor for a King of the Ring, you know. You wouldn't think. What do you like those King of the Bull Rings?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. What's
No.
that?
Do you like the King of the Rings?
No, I do. Steve's got him pretty much dialed in. I did get to go against him last year in the final round, and he beat me there. I did win one in the street stocks one time. If you put it at the end of the night, I would really enjoy it.
Track's
At
a little
least with this
drier.
car. Yeah, at least with this car.
Well, you know, you just sometimes you gotta be a little mean out there. You gotta get mean, Brett.
Yeah.
You know, should, I don't
My
know.
strength or my weakness.
Well, you know, I also don't really know if I should be telling you to take people out and hitting people left and right either. I don't know if that's
Probably not a good direction to go.
No, you're probably doing it right. Hey, how's it feel whenever you do win, and that it's really loud when you win? How that must feel pretty good.
Yeah, you know, I. When you get out of the car there, and I mean, the crowd, you know, everybody's going nuts, and just all the fans that back me. I have a really good fan base. You know, I have so many people that come up to me, and I want to say that's contributed back, you know, when I was younger and I used to follow all these people, and, you know, they watched me. And I mean, I used to sit right there. I used to go when I was, you know, 2, 3 years old. My grandmother, I'd sit right there. She'd never let me leave. I could never go up back and throw stones like the other kids. I had to watch the races. So, I mean, I was just addicted to it from that day on. And it's cool. It's cool because you get to experience it. You'll never experience your first win again. The closest you'll ever get is, you know, when you move up into a different class and you keep succeeding, you keep succeeding. It's something you got to experience to actually explain, Joe. It's phenomenal. Just a
Yeah,
great feeling.
I bet it would be. I remember I used to say, so back before when we moved out of turn four, when all my friends stopped, thought it wasn't as cool to come anymore, and Austin had a race car and all that, I sit up behind your grandma every week. I tell you one thing, you'll never find somebody that cheered harder than that lady did.
No, I remember I'd go up there on Sundays and I'd go up to her house and hang out with her for a little while, and it'd be a night where we got wrecked or something happened. She goes, "I brought you up through there." You know, her hands would ache so bad and her feet would hurt, and she'd be telling me the story. She goes, "I brought you up through there 2 or 3 times. You know, my hands hurt so bad I can't do anything right now." And she meant a lot to me, Joe. I mean,
I'm sure.
it's a different feeling with her not being there in person. Just something you miss her.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. Yeah, I re I rem I'm sure her hands did ache. I do remember sitting behind her. She clapped that whole friggin' race. All 20 laps she was clapping. And they weren't easy claps
Right
either.
at
They
the end,
were.
of those bleachers too. No, and I mean, she was right at the end of her seat, right to the end from green to checkered. I think she missed one race out of from my dad starting racing to, you know, where she had passed there. I think she missed one race. Her
Yeah,
foot was
that's.
bothering her. She couldn't make it to the races, and that was the only race that I can ever remember her missing.
Yeah, I remember that too because everybody was asking if she was okay.
Yep.
Because you know,
That's another thing.
if she didn't come in, everybody was starting to get worried, you know.
That's another thing. You think you make a lot of enemies, and sometimes you think you do, but I'll tell you that racing is one of the biggest families you'll make. I mean, you have an incident like a flood, or a house burns down, everybody chips in to help and make sure you're okay. And Do what you can do to help them out. It's a really close niche family. I mean, you can go to any track and it's like that, from one state to the next. I mean, it's just great having people like that. One week you're screaming and hollering, throwing the steering wheel at them and how you doing? You need anything? Let me know if you need anything. It's great to have a family like that that you can rely on when times are tough. I know when
Right.
we had the flood here, several people reached out to my dad, myself, Kathy, and were more than willing to come down and help us. And a couple of my buddies there, their shops are burnt down, their houses burnt down. Family sicknesses, stuff like that. You always get people that reach out. Somebody you haven't heard from in 2 years, and they'll just reach out on a Tuesday at noon and, hey, you all right? Need anything? Let us know. We're here. And that means a lot. That means a lot. And for all those people that have always been there and done that for me, I want to say thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I always said that it's the biggest family, and it's funny because now if I wasn't a part of racing, I wouldn't talk to anybody besides my actual family. It seems to be that that's the only people I talk to anymore, are either with the racetrack, Terry Pierce, Joe Wilcox, them guys, or drivers. That's really about it. That's
Yeah.
really the only people I talked to all week. So it's kind of funny how that, and I really haven't been doing this very long. So it's just kind of funny how quickly that seems to change.
How many years have you been doing it now, Joe? How many years have you been down there?
Oh gosh. 22, I believe. Do you remember off the top of your head what year Art Goodyear passed away?
Sorry.
Did you hear me or no? Oh.
I don't remember exactly what year that was. Has it been 6 years?
Yeah,
I want to say.
I think it was, no, I think it was 22. I think.
22.
Yeah, I think it was, I think my first night, I was the week after he passed, or maybe the week after, because I think that rained out, but I can't remember for sure. And then I worked with Leon Andrus for the first week. I don't know if you know him. Great guy. I think he does Thunder Mountain or Afton or stuff up in that direction. And then I worked with Kenny Shupp. And then the week after that, they sent me out on my own. That
Sink
was
or
the only
swim.
experience I've ever had.
You've become pretty successful, Joe. I mean, you get the crowd into
I try. Sometimes it's harder than it looks.
it. Yeah. I can
You know,
understand that.
well, there's just days where you don't really feel like being the voice of uplifting spirits, you know. Or the other
I'm
thing
sure.
that I've ran into that I've realized is I've become friends with a lot of you drivers, and sometimes I get mad up there, and I'm like, oh,
Yeah, you can't be doing that.
well, you know, I always said
Can't.
I like all the drivers, so I don't really have any favorites. I just, you know, sometimes it's more of like a, well, why would you do that? You know, like, but easier said than done.
Yeah, then you realize the mic's on.
No, I've, that's not me. I'm not, I don't do that. I try not to get in trouble. No hot mics. But I don't say anything that bad about anybody.
No, I know.
And usually, and I always say this too, if I ever call anybody out for wrecking somebody, that doesn't mean I said that it was intentional. I don't know how you guys do it. I don't know how you guys drive the cars so friggin' close together and don't wreck each other all the time, because I would hit everybody.
The most part, we just get lucky.
I don't think that's true. I definitely don't think that's true. You got a lot of experience behind the wheel, Brett.
I know I was when you asked me to do this, I was thinking how many years I've been doing this now, 8 years old when I started racing the go-karts, and it's what is it, 25 now? It's been a
Been
while.
racing 25 years, huh?
Yeah.
Have you ever missed a week of racing?
27, yeah. What's that?
Have you, other than that one year where you got hurt, have you ever missed a week of racing?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, so that's
I
commitment too.
mean, other than if I was racing, then if I was going to take the car, then I went down. There might have been a night I didn't go. But other than that, no, I've been pretty punctual down there. I'm down there when it's there.
Well, yeah, me too. I think since about 2013, I've been there since it's been there too. It's kind of funny.
It's hard to get away from once you're in that circle.
Yeah, well, not only that, what else? I mean, because there's a lot of other worse things you could do on a Saturday night. You know?
Yeah,
So if I wasn't.
there's probably a lot more better things too.
Well, I don't. Probably from your end when you have to spend all Sunday working on everything, but.
Yeah.
You know, from my end as a fan, that it was one. It's one of my favorite things to do. I got to go to the races, watch the races. I mean, what for a while it was what $10 to get in, paid $10, go to the races. Bring your own beer. It's been that way for years. I mean,
Yeah, and you probably told them you were 12 and got in free.
it. Well, you know, I don't. That
Your real
that's not
12-year-old
that.
carrying a 30-pack of beer in.
No, I always brought, well, maybe when I was younger, but for a while there, I always brought a six pack. I had a great La Chaise construction cooler, and it would fit a six pack of tall boys in there absolutely perfectly.
Here you go.
And I would ride up and come home with my dad and did that for a long time. But until I became got grew up, you know,
Oh, yeah.
had to get my own stuff.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about announcing?
You know, Shane Jackson always said I was pretty good at it. I would try it.
You should
Put me
try
up
it.
there with you. Put me up there with you one night.
Come up one night when your car's done.
All right.
Do it. I'll have you up there. I tell drivers all the time. For the most part, it's an open invitation. You just can't swear a lot because, you know, kids and stuff.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, you kind of have to have somewhat of a filter. Which, you
Yeah, I
know,
can do that.
I think you'd be pretty good at it, actually.
Let's
Maybe
make
that,
it happen.
maybe you'll love it so much you'll get rid of the race car.
I might come for your job next time.
Yeah, well, it probably wouldn't be too hard to take. Yeah,
Come on, you'll give yourself enough credit.
you know, some days are better than others.
That's true.
And some days the night just get sometimes the night gets so long that you're just kind of out of it. I feel so bad for some of the four cylinder get races because there's just been some of those night. This past year was really good, but I think the year before, maybe the year before that, there's a few of them four cylinder races where I'm just kind of going through the motions.
Yeah, definitely last year was a huge improvement. Getting out of there, at a halfway decent time, 9:30, and you're on the road, you can get home. Maybe take the body off the car first thing in the morning, wash it. Definitely helps. People can get home early. It definitely makes it a lot better experience.
Right. Well, and I think for the fans too. I don't think fans anymore want to sit there the way they used to.
I just think there's a lot going on in life now, There's just so many things people can be doing, and with the way the economy and everything is right now. Everything costs so much money, and it's tough to do the stuff that we do now. We're pretty fortunate, quite honestly, to do what we do. There's a lot of people that, I mean, that was their life. They went every Saturday, and you don't even see those people down there anymore just because, life's changed, different things happen, and just the times have changed. When I was younger, I think, like you said, it was maybe $20 to get in the pits, 10 to get in the stands. You could buy some food for, $5, and heck, you got your dinner and a pretty good show and you went home. Now, you're going to spend a $100 bill no matter what way you look at it. And if you got a race car, you don't wreck it, you're going to spend 200. So it's
Right.
just different.
And I think for kids too, there doesn't seem to be kids around like there used to be. I don't know if it's just that parents now can't really afford to bring a whole family or exactly what that is, because I'm sure you remember there used to be kids all over the place. Sometimes it's actually kind of a pain in the butt.
Yeah, definitely the kids, they're not there as much as they used to be. Obviously video games, TV, stuff like that takes a big hit on that. I mean, even if you go to these high school sports, I mean, there's not even the kids that go out and play football, basketball, baseball anymore. They're just, and that's another thing too. The ones that do, they're playing basketball, football, baseball. They're playing that year round now. They have all these travel leagues and they're on full weekend, Saturday, Sunday. Bryce and his daughters, I mean, they're in cheer all year round, all weekend long, and they're going to different states and different towns and cities. They're all over the place doing this, and it costs money and it takes time, and just it's tough to do it all. Tough to do it all anymore.
Absolutely. Hey, have you seen his boy race at all?
Cade?
I think we got a hot shoe on our hands.
We might. He's got some potential.
Just, when I'm watching
He
him go
sticks
around the
with
track,
me, he'll go play. I tell Bryce all the time, if he sticks with me, he'll go places.
Yeah.
I the night, so if you remember back, I don't know if it had to have been 2, 3 years ago now, Bryce was running Lernerville, and I think it was for that 25 grand to win. And all of his daughters went with him, and Cade was upset he didn't get to go to the races. So I took him and me to Woodhall, and we went down there and won Woodhall. And Cade, I brought him down on the track. He held his flag and everything. Great experience for him. And we came back here to watch Bryce because we made it back in time. And Bryce led that race all the way up to, I don't know, 1.5 laps to go. 25 grand to win, running against the best in the country. And Hess got by him there, in seconds. Still a huge accomplishment in that kind of race. And Bryce was telling me the next day when I dropped Cade off, he's like, he walked in and he goes, "Dad, how'd you do?" And he's, "I got second, buddy." And he goes, "Well, Uncle Brett won." And what are you gonna say to the poor guy? And I was like, in a race like that, and me running at Woodhall, two totally different experiences in a show like that. But it was just funny. But yeah, I did get to go watch Cade a couple times this year. I watched him over, forget what the track's called now. When I raced it, it was Beaver Hill. It's over in Wellsville, there, right off River Road. He won that night. That might have been his first night ever in the cart. Lane Porter, Bryce, and I, we went over there. Of course, Hannah. And yeah, he won that night. And then I went over to Allen. Is it Allentown there between Wellsville and Bolivar? I
I
think it
don't,
is.
yeah, that sounds about right. But I don't
I'm
know.
pretty sure it's Allentown there. Yeah, it's we went over there that night and he ended up winning that night. So the two nights I got to watch him, he won, did a really good job. Just got to keep him focused on it. He wants to, throw the football, run around and chase the neighborhood women. Just got to keep him away from that, and he'll be fine.
We'll have to see though, because. He might take after his dad.
He might. He might.
Yeah, I just can't believe it. I saw the video the first time he was in there, and I just couldn't believe how natural it was. But then you kind of look at Bryce, and it's almost the same thing because Bryce is one that just amazes me because it seems like he races 4 times a year, and every time he does, he runs second, first, or second. And I don't know how you could do that with no rust or whatever, but he does it.
Yeah, he's always been successful, but he's always done that. He'll come in, like you said, middle of the year, car's ready to go. And I mean, he's done it long enough where he has a pretty good setup, and he keeps pretty good notes. He won't write them down, he'll keep them in his head, but he's got it down. He's got a lot of big name guys that he talks with, and they let him know what to do, and he knows a lot about them, and he can hook a car up and do really well. And
Well, Brett, if he wrote it down, then you and Austin could get your hands on it. And
yeah,
he can't have that.
he'd probably lie to us anyway.
I'm surprised he doesn't have a fake notebook.
No, he helps us out in every way
I'm
possible. He
sure.
wants us to, he wants us just to be just as excuse me, just as successful as he is. If he isn't winning, he will say that though. If he's not winning, I want you guys to win,
Yeah. That's kind of all he is, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, it is, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I remember boy, what was it? I remember that you guys might have finished top three, you, Bryce, and Austin. And whoever won got out of the car and just said, "That's awesome, just running with you three up and the way that it ends up." And that's just fun, three good friends running 1, 2, 3. That's awesome.
Yep, we've done that a couple times now, and it's pretty neat. It's pretty neat when you do that. You can run hard. Obviously, each one of us wants to beat the other one, and it's fun when you get to race against guys that you've grown up with and you've shared experiences with, and even off the track, hanging out and hunting or riding side by sides, whatever, grabbing dinner or whatnot. And it's just really fun to go back and tell stories like that. Remember that time? I just hope one time I can be in the winning circle when it does happen. I'm tired of saying I was second or third.
Well, And maybe next time show them that number 99 a little up close and personal.
Yeah.
Well,
No, we race each other a lot of respect.
I would say that that's got to make it even a little bit nicer too, because you guys know that, when you look to the outside, you see the 94, the 32, you can give a hell and they're not going to come down on you. They're going to give you a ton of room and, vice versa.
Yeah, Austin and I had a couple really good runs last year, and you know he's not going to give it to you, but he's not going to move you out of the way to win it. And if it was reversed, it'd be the same way.
Well, really, Austin's another one, because he kind of took to it like a fish to water too. When he first got in there, I couldn't believe how well he did. But
Yeah, neither could I because I ran against him in the street stocks and. We, he'll tell you it was not a lot of fun. I think he worked on it every night of the week. And then he's like, hey, I'm getting a late model, and I'm like, and actually that's what drove me. Like I was like, Austin went there and he set the world. I mean, he went out and won like his fourth show win. No, I think he won his first night in it over it out. I forgot about that. He won the first night over at Outlaw with it, and I was like,
Yeah,
wow,
Dash, right?
good for you, man. What got me interested in them. Yeah, I was like, oh, maybe I could do it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I got motivated to finally get one. And I bought Jason Nolva's car. He hooked me up with a pretty good deal at the time. And it's fun racing with him. He's a fun guy to hang out with and be around the track. He's just funny. Your face hurts when you get done at the end of the night talking to him.
I'll tell you one thing about Jason Knowles. If you ever go to a racetrack, you're going to be hard pressed to find a guy you'd rather spend the time with.
Oh yeah.
Because you
And
like you
he's a pretty decent cook too.
he is, because he will make you laugh the entire time and cook some good food. Because it's just he's one of them guys. I don't He kind of seems to always be that way. I know sometimes he got mad on the track, but it seemed like after, I don't know, an hour, that all kind of went away and he's back to being himself. And he's
Yeah. He always told me, well, he told a story at Lerner Valley. Austin was upset about something, the car or something. And Jason, he's like, why aren't you mad, Jason? And Jason's like, ah, when I'm mad, I leave it all out on the track. And I made the comment, I said, yeah, sometimes even your Hans device. He had gotten in a wreck over at Bradford one time. And I was there, but I don't remember the whole story, but he ended up chucking that across the track. But then he came back in, the happiest guy. He's just a good guy to be around, like you said, and you being around guys like that, you just laugh. They just make you laugh. Makes it a good experience.
Yeah, that's the thing, is it makes it a lot of fun too, especially when you got a good group of guys. And I that's why I always try to tell people, if you're interested in racing, just go be a part of a crew, because that'll be some of the most fun you ever have. You're gonna have to work your butt off, but it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and there's a lot of kids too. There's a lot of kids that come up to my pit, and where I started, you're scraping the mud, off the car and stuff. And next thing you're putting the tires on, and next thing you're putting the body, taking the body off, putting that on, and then you're making adjustments on the chassis. That's how you learn. And quite honestly, that's the cheapest way to learn. It's a lot harder when you buy the car and learn that way. So I
Right.
mean, that's how I started. I used to help Dad on his, Cliff on his, Buck on his. And then finally I got the opportunity. I always wanted to race, and it was just a dream that finally happened.
And I've always said too that you won't find one guy in the pit area of 90% of racetracks that, if you go up to them and say, "Hey, I want to learn," and you're willing to put the time and the effort in, they're gonna teach you. Because if I'm not mistaken, you all kind of need some help.
Yeah, there's always a night where you just can't figure it out, and you go over and talk to so and so. They'll give you their knowledge and help you out any way. You bend something, you break something, anybody will give you the shirt off their back. They want to put on a good show just as much as the next guy. That's the main reason we're all down there. We think we want to go down and make money, but honestly, none of us are going to get rich doing this. And the best part of it, 10, 15 years down the road, you're going to be able to share that story of this happening, that happening, and you pulled it out. Some of my best stories are, the night before we knocked the front end off, it bent the frame and everything, straightened it out, put the motor back in, went back down to Woodhull and won the next night. You know, that just the drive and what it takes to do something like that, like people just to actually not be there and see it, you gotta be there to experience something like that. And it's just a good feeling when you can come out with a win in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Brett, I think I might have kept you a little longer than I anticipated, but you know, I could pr you're one of them guys I could probably talk to all night if I allowed it to happen.
What, did you have me on the clock?
Well, no, I just like to keep them, you know, viewable, viewer. I don't know what I want to say. Viewer, I don't know. Make it a little easier for the listeners.
Okay.
We're
I'll take
I'm not quite the long form podcast yet, but
it.
you know, maybe
We'll get
someday we'll
there.
get there. Maybe someday we'll get here. We could be doing 2 hour things. Now, I don't know if anybody really wants to listen to us, well, bullshit for 2.5 hours, but you know, you never know.
That makes it fun.
I'll tell you what I
Give
want to do.
everyone something to laugh at.
One week, I want to get you and Bryce and Austin in here all at the same time.
We can do that.
I think that would be a little that might get a little crazy.
We've done it before. We might have to extend the time slot a little bit.
Oh, that's fine. That might have to be a Saturday in the off season. We can all have a few adult beverages during and kind of see what happens.
We can do that.
Why don't you just tell us a little bit about the people that help you out? You know, people can hear you a little bit better on this thing. So all your sponsors and stuff.
Yeah, you know, I got to thank all my sponsors. I got to thank Louis Gun Shop, you know, Lubick Sales and Marketing, Les Smith Construction, RLB Trucking, Griswold's ETR Service, Victor P. Zugabee Excavating, Paints Trailer Sales, Canisteau Auto Mart, Ken's Collision, the Valley Bar and Grill, Palmarosa Maple Farms, Bailey Beefers, Powers Taxidermy, CRC Repair, Butler Excavating and Concrete, Universal Builders, Brennan Thurber, their real estate, Howard Hanna, he's a great help. Ron Amadon's Backhoe and Dump Truck Service. I got to thank all the other, you know, racing groups that I race with, you know, Burtzel, Allen, Davis, and Spencer. You know, those guys, they're always here for a good time, and they'll help me out just as I would those guys. I gotta thank my dad, Dave, Chris, Todd, John, Rick, Sean. Also, I just want to throw out there, it's in the works to have another race party this year. Hopefully, it'll be as big as last year and as good. And if you're looking for something to do, I believe it's January 31st. Come on down and have a good time.
Who your race party? Is that who you're saying?
Yep.
January 31st.
Yep.
Okay, you cut out just a little bit, so I wanted to make sure we got that right. I imagine that that's at the Legion in Canastillo.
That's correct. Yep.
Yep, that's where it always is, right?
Yeah, it has been the last few years. Yep.
That's good because you know what? You might even need a little bit bigger of a venue because I've been to that race party, and boy, does it get cramped.
Yeah, they fill in pretty quick, and you know, although we still always have a pretty good time.
Yeah. Now one more thing before I let you out of here. Do you have your sponsors written down or did you remember them off the top of your head?
Believe it or not, I had that in my head, Joe.
I'm very proud of you because it's
I thought about how am I going to try to remember them. I have to get up and walk around the car and read them off, but I only had this side of the body on, so I knew I wouldn't have memorized them.
That's funny. All right, Brett. Well, hey, I appreciate you joining me. I hope you heal up. What's the recovery time looking like for that?
I don't know. It doesn't sound good. Hopefully, it's not as bad as some, but hopefully, it'll be a quick recovery.
All right. Well, I think I speak for everybody when I tell you that have a speedy recovery. We can't wait to see you, I guess, on the racetrack or whenever I talk to you again.
Sounds good. Have a good winter, Joe. See you
Yeah,
around.
you too. Driver interviews brought to you by DNL Disposal, or I guess any interview. We do more than just drivers here, but whatever. They're brought to you by DNL Disposal. They offer regular residential garbage route in Jasper, Trusburg, Woodhull, Addison, and the surrounding areas. Aside from that, they also offer dump trailer service rentals for your bigger needs. They'll drop it off at your location. All you have to do is load it up, and they'll come and take it away. Give them a call today at 607-382-7609 to get started with DNL Disposal, the premier residential waste management service in the Woodhull area. And if you do happen to call them or get a hold of them, tell them you heard about it from here. Now, I hope I'm giving them a lot of business. I hope it wasn't just a complete waste of money for them. So if you do happen to need whatever, if you need your garbage picked up, if you need a I don't know, you need to clean out your garage, give them a call and tell them that you heard about us here, heard about them from here, and hopefully we can give them some business. So we're just gonna try to go that. So once again, I do want to thank you all for listening. Just continued prayers for the family of Carl Guild, Tim and his family, and Gwen. Just want to say once again, we send our condolences to them. Tragic deal there. And thank you all for listening. And then please like and subscribe on Facebook, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. Rate 5 stars, give it a download, all that good stuff. Until next week, I hope you all have a good week, and I will hear from you shortly.